Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Thursday, October 11th. And today we are officially less than 1 week away from real basketball for the Detroit Pistons. This is your boy Matt Shook, a sports writer here in the Motor City covering the NBA for the Associated Press and the Detroit News, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Back today after taking the day off yesterday, just had a busy week going on. Wanted to remind you guys about the Out of the Darkness Walk for Suicide Prevention and Awareness that is coming up this weekend. The Dobek family is marching in honor of Matt Dobek, the former Pistons PR guy who sadly committed suicide in 2010. So check the social media links on my Twitter feed at Locked On Pistons and also the Facebook page, Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook, for links to how to contribute to the Dobek family as they try to raise money for an important cause. Welcome to the show, and I appreciate you guys spreading the word. We are almost here at NBA season, and today we're going to be talking about the Pistons game, the preseason game from Wednesday night, the third straight preseason loss with only one remaining on the schedule. I'll give you some thoughts on my experience. I was there courtside with some tickets, had some great tickets for the game, took a couple of youngsters along with my brother and wanted to pass along their thoughts and impressions about the game from what I gathered with an 8 and 9 year old girl alongside of us at a couple of their first NBA games at Little Caesars Arena. We're going to also talk about the black seats a little bit, the talk of Pistons Red Wings world these last couple of days, so much so as that there is talk in those worlds as the seasons are getting started or have started recently in the Red Wings case. We're also going to be sharing the news of a passing of an NBA legend and someone who has truly had an impact on the pro game, and remember that icon and Hall of Famer a little bit today as well. And by the way, as you may know, the Pistons will close out the preseason on Friday at Michigan State University, the Breslin Center against the Cleveland Cavaliers. That'll be on Fox Sports Detroit. Michigan State student listeners, faculty, whoever's out in East Lansing, or maybe just mid-Michigan residents who are attending, I want to hear your thoughts about how that goes at the Breslin Center. Are the fans into it? Do the Pistons seem to be lifted up a little bit from playing on the college campus? What's the crowd like? All that good stuff. Just let us know what you find from your experiences at that game Friday night. So get in touch with us. Email uses the Twitter account or my personal Twitter account, Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Check out today's Detroit News, by the way. I had my Michigan State football story. One of my top five greatest leads. And in the journalism business, the lead is the first few graphs of a story, usually somewhere between 1 and 3, maybe even 4 graphs. And the lead is just the lead of the story. It's pretty simple. But check that out and let me know what you think about the first few graphs of my story about the Michigan State football media availability that I was at on Wednesday afternoon in East Lansing. But is your company looking for a new way to reach customers? Your company could be mentioned right now at Locked On Pistons. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with sponsors they hear on their podcast. Our demographic is 98% males. So what's up, fellas? And have more education and earning potential than more traditional media audiences. Have your company sponsor Locked On Pistons and do it for a great price as well and great return for your business. Email me at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more. Now, first, we're going to go through the nuts and bolts from Wednesday, as we always do after the game, the recap, so to speak. Pistons lose 102-97 to the Washington Wizards, game 4 of 5 in the preseason. The Pistons, the third of their 4 preseason games that has been pretty compelling, other than the blowout loss in San Antonio last Friday night, but some good finishes, pretty entertaining as well, especially from a nice vantage point courtside like I was. John Luehr was back in his first action in a long, long time for the Detroit Pistons. Played an uninspiring 2 minutes, but really glad to see him out there. Had one of the really bad miss from three-pointer, but hey, he's throwing them up just like the rest of them are right now. Low-key, I think he's a pretty big key for the Pistons' season off the bench this year, especially considering that Henry Ellenson is one of the other bigs off the bench, so to speak, and then Zaza Pachulia, who hopefully could be solid for the Pistons in a reserve role, but certainly not someone that you expect to be a difference maker in any sense of the word. And the bad news comes from what I was reading after the game. Obviously, you're at the game courtside. I don't want to be sitting on my phone tweeting or even checking Twitter, really. But didn't even realize that Reggie Jackson had left the game with a bit of an injury. I don't know, maybe injury is too strong of a word for what he has. But with his history, obviously we're conditioned to maybe expect the worst when it comes to the Pistons point guard, but some growing tightness was the reason that Reggie Jackson didn't play in the second half. And it sounds like the team might be a little bit cautious there. Only played in the first half, but still, as Pistons fans, we might be having that one step forward, one step back thought there. But Andre Drummond, he had great energy. Again, he played pretty well, 17 points and 20 rebounds there. 0 for 3 from three-point land again. I think that's kind of a good sign for Pistons fans that he's throwing him up there and, giving himself ample chance to see if it will go down come regular season. And then even better, they're not going down. So as I've kind of said, it might be him getting him out of his system, so to speak. And I think between Coach Casey and his new coaching staff that they have in Detroit, hopefully that cooler heads will prevail. And maybe the idea of Andre Drummond shooting three-pointers at any kind of consistent rate will probably not be a thing for the Detroit Pistons this year. And again, as I've said all along, if Andre is able to go out there, throw up some threes and show he can hit them at a consistent basis, I'll be the first one to tell him that he should be shooting those three-pointers. But until we see that during game speed on an NBA court against NBA players, it's just not something that we're going to believe is going to be a viable option for the Pistons offense in a major way going forward. Also, for Andre, too many post-ups for my liking. We've seen throughout his career that does not work at a consistent basis. Even when he does end up getting some pretty good shots, he isn't able to knock them down. And sometimes if you watch it on an individual game basis, you say, well, he had some looks and they didn't fall, but he had some looks and they didn't fall pretty much sells the story of Andre Drummond's entire post-career as a member of the Detroit Pistons when he has tried those opportunities under a variety of coaches now for his tenure. Blake Griffin, 16 points and 4 assists, played pretty well. 13 points for Glenn Robinson III, 12 apiece for Reggie Bullock and Ish Smith. The bad news, Stanley Johnson, 3 points, although he did grab 11 rebounds. 1 of 13 shooting, just ugly, really 1 for 6 from 3. I had a tweet from one of the listeners about him tonight after the game. Patience is wearing thin. Believe that he's had his opportunity, and we just haven't seen it consistently from him offseason other than a couple of stretches, pretty much a good rookie season all in all, and a 10-game stretch or so last year and maybe a couple few stretches in there of a smaller size that have been very good. But other than that, just not consistent. The three-pointers aren't falling after they did fall in a game or so this year. But again, I will point out that Stanley Johnson comes into the season in good shape, apparently in full health. And so a little bit of reason to be optimistic there. But if you're not going to be able to knock down the threes and, really contribute much at all offensively outside of three-pointers, then it's probably not going to be working for him as a long-term impact player in the NBA. Certainly there will be a spot for an athlete like him, probably on an NBA roster for years to come, but it might not be in Detroit and it might not be at a player that you would consider a starting level. And certainly we're not going to close the book on Stanley Johnson going into a very important year in his career with his second coach in the NBA. So we will see. Stay tuned on Stanley Johnson there. Again, I don't have a whole lot of thoughts from the game itself, to be honest. At one point, though, I almost did tweet, Zach Lofton is one of the Pistons. And, man, I think he might just stay with the club, and that's probably a little bit reading too much into preseason, but it feels like Khyree Thomas, by the way, and I think we can all agree on this, is maybe a full-time member of the Grand Rapids Drive at this point. There's nothing wrong with that. And I don't know that there is a roster spot available for Zach Lofton or if there's a competition to be had or what, or if a surprise move might be coming down the line for the Pistons. But it feels like Dwayne Casey is giving him a chance to make the club. And from what we're seeing as fans watching these games, he looks pretty comfortable. So again, stay tuned there to see what the Zach Lofton status with the Detroit Pistons. And I've never been someone to claim to know the ins and outs of the two-way rule. We only found out in preseason that Reggie Hearn was actually reportedly the second player for the Pistons that was on a two-way contract in addition to Keenan Evans. I had always kind of wondered that it wasn't announced and for sure if Reggie Hearn was going to be that second two-way member. But like I said, reportedly he is. So it might be an awkward situation there with Zach Lofton probably at this point being clearly the more favored player in the organization, despite the fact that the two-way status definitely being a favored status for NBA teams as opposed to just an affiliate player for the G League. So we'll see how that shakes down going forward. But up next, I'm going to be talking about my experience with some first-time fans and also my first-time experience in the nice seats at Little Caesars Arena. But Pistons season is coming up next week. Can you believe it? Finally here, Vivid Seats is the top choice for tickets. For all the live events that you want to go to, you can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice. To make things even better, Vivid Seats is giving new listeners listeners who are signing up for the first time an exclusive promo code for new customers to receive $20 off orders of $200 or more to save even more money. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more as a new customer of Vivid Seats. Got to be a new customer to get the offer. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee, obviously a very important thing. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and enter promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more as a new customer of Vivid Seats. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let Vivid Seats help you get to your favorite live event, and I will see you at Little Caesars Arena this season. Also, get all your NBA previews this week at Locked On NBA. 6 teams a day, 5 days in the week, 30 teams previewed by the local experts on Locked On NBA. I have my Pistons preview in there. Follow Locked On NBA on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On NBA.
Yes, sir!
Later on, we'll be talking about the new black chairs at Little Caesars Arena and also, sadly, the passing of an NBA legend, an icon in the coaching world as well. Like I said, I went to the game on Wednesday night, the preseason game. I have some thoughts. Real nice tickets, by the way. If we have a ticket giveaway here on the podcast this season, it'll likely be these tickets that I had tonight. Let me tell you, you're going to want to get in on that for sure. Second row on the baseline there, but also right in the corner. You can see everything, the free food, the free drinks, the whole nine. Pretty awesome experience. And thanks to listener Sean for hooking us up with those as well. I took my niece, who is 8 years old, and another family member of ours who is 9, a couple young ladies who have little to no interest in basketball other than, of course, huge fans of the Locked On Pistons podcast. I figured preseason would be a good chance for them to see the game from that vantage point. And of course, we spent a lot of time watching, you know, the dance team, Hooper the mascot, and the extreme team, the guys who do the dancing and also hit the trampolines with some of those real acrobatic dunks. It's a bit that's been played. I remember when I was maybe a kid of teenage years or early teenage years, when I think that kind of act started happening in NBA arenas where guys were jumping off trampolines and dunking it. And as a young man, I can remember being like floored and really kind of taken to that. And really, we've seen it over the years, but my point is that it's always very impressive. It's not something that gets old. It's not something where you say, oh, why are they still doing something like this? You can see why they're still doing it. It's always impressive. It gets better and better because these guys are, you know, young dudes who are real cut up and put a lot of time into their craft, and not only the entertainment part of it, but also the athletic part of it, with the fact that they're consistent on knocking down those dunks and make it happen. So, you know, hats off to those groups. Again, great job by the dance team and all the other extracurriculars out there on the court. The ushers were all very, you know, sweet to the girls and very nice to us. One usher positioned the girls so they could get a good look and give high fives to the dance team as they left the court the one time. And my niece surprisingly turned into a Washington Wizards fan. Not exactly sure why. I think because they were winning when we hit the seats mid-first quarter. Got a pull for the winner. And maybe just to be a contrarian, not sure exactly why. Not sure kids why they do most of the things that they do. But I guess I'm not exactly an expert on the topic for there. But it worked out for her in the long run. Her team won the game. So congratulations to Iris and the Washington Wizards for the big preseason win. She got to high five basically all the players, the Wizards, that they were entering and exiting the court from our tunnel there in the corner. So like a lot of high fives from all the Wizards before and after halftime and also after the game as well. The girls were very good and stayed the entire time. Didn't need to leave early despite the fact that it was a school night. Probably gave them some caffeine that had something to do with it, with the Pepsis, the free Pepsis on courtside as well. She even got, after the game, a sweaty towel from Jason Smith. And I know that that's pretty much every 8-year-old girl's dream to get a seven-footer's towel after falling out in a preseason game. So that wish was definitely fulfilled by her, and she caught a T-shirt at some point. Actually, the guy in the first row ended up catching a loose shirt that was thrown in her direction and gave it to her, so that was great of him. Thank you, sir, for that. But like I said, the girls had a good time staying up late on a school night, never asked to go home, stayed till the final buzzer, and mostly engaged with some sort of action throughout. And I share this personal story not just to share the personal story with you guys, but to point out, and again, I'm not telling you how to spend your time, I'm not telling you how to spend your money, but if you're a resident in Southeast Michigan, and you, at this point, if you're listening to this podcast, you obviously have some sort of connection to the Pistons. I think going into year two, it's time to get down there. It's time to check out Little Caesars Arena, whether it's for a Pistons game or maybe a Red Wings game, hopefully for both. You got to check it out. And as we go into this second season here, I'm going to extend the challenge to not just the Southeast Michigan residents, but extend it to the Michigan residents in all, and maybe even throw, you know, the Toledo area, Northern Ohio folks into there. If you're within driving distance of getting down to a Pistons game at Little Caesars Arena and you haven't had a chance, and I know life happens and it's not, sometimes it's just not possible and sometimes circumstances dictate that it's not going to happen, but if you're, you know, an average person that has a few weekends free, a few maybe even weekdays free for a long weekend or something like that, you got to get down there and check it out. And like I said, if you've gone the step of listening to this podcast on a regular basis, maybe you just love me so much and that just became part of your life. But other than that, the outside chance that you just love the Pistons so much, like I said, you just got to get down here and check it out. And if you're one of those folks that hasn't yet checked it out, then maybe I'd like to hear, you know, first of all, why you haven't yet, when you might be coming down, and maybe we can interview you on the show about what you've heard, what your expectations are going into Little Caesars Arena for a Pistons game, and then we can kind of do a post-game wrap-up with you and think about, you know, how it went for you and what some of your thoughts are as we go into year two here with Little Caesars Arena. And I'm not trying to be a shill for the team and try to boost up the attendances by getting people down here, but I think if, as a sports fan, and I know that there's something to be said for the comforts of home, the idea that you can be doing something else while you're watching the game on your nice TV and then just crawl into bed or whatever you're going to do after the game without dealing with the traffic and the crowds. I mean, I get it. I hear all those reasons, especially as a modern sports fan, but it's pretty nice. And if you, especially if you get the good hookup like we had on Wednesday night, we spent some time in the Motor City Casino Club as well. Great place, clean, comfortable, new, spacious, plenty of food, plenty of TVs. I could see, you know, I remember going to the Palace with some of these types of deals with some friends where we had access to the clubs with the food and the pool tables and all that good stuff. Sometimes we would just have some drinks and just stay in the clubs and watch games and chat more in a easier setting to visit with friends and stuff like that. But plenty of drinks for free in the Motor City Casino Club, obviously costly to get in a type of place like that. But if you can get in there somehow, and if you ever have the chance to score the really nice tickets, or if you're a person of considerable means yourself, I would highly recommend it. Maybe this season you'll get a chance to do that right here through Locked On Pistons. And so stay tuned through that throughout the year. But to recap, as a Pistons podcaster and an uncle, I would say that I failed the Pistons organization in failing to get my niece to root for the right team in a home game in downtown Detroit. But we will try and we will keep on her as the season goes on and as her life as a future fan of the Detroit Pistons rolls on. But as we've talked about, Locked On NBA, it never went away and it's still here for you every single day. Locked On NBA is your daily national NBA podcast. Every Monday, get the local experts on the biggest stories. And then stay with Locked On NBA all week long with daily 30-minute shows on everything going on around the league. Follow for free at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On NBA. Up next, we're going to be talking about the Black Chairs, the famous Black Chairs, and also the passing of an NBA legend. We'll be talking about that next here on Locked On Pistons, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. And a bye week this week for the Lions, but the Detroit Lions will be back in action next week, and you should be listening to Matt Derry of the Locked On Lions podcast for everything you need to know about the Lions. You know Matt Derry from Detroit Radio. He has a daily look at the Leos, so check it out on the network, the local sports number one daily podcast network, that is the Locked On Network. But we're talking Black Chairs here for the Pistons and the Red Wings, and I laugh, and it's not funny, it's actually kind of sad for the Pistons as an organization and also the Red Wings too. The news The Pistons did the black seat covers last year with the Art Van promotion through the team last season, and now they're going to be going full black with the chairs that came in as red last season to start the opening of Little Caesars Arena. All the chairs are going to be changed from that red to black, the idea being that the red chairs pop so much when empty on TV that it creates an embarrassing look for the Pistons and the Red Wings on television. And I know it's a venue that gets a lot of use throughout the entire calendar, but it seems like this could have been done in any of the last few months. And again, I don't know the particulars of the concert calendar and what was going on during the summer, but especially for sports fans when they weren't reading articles about it, and now we could see the status of the change with our own two eyes as it goes on during the season this year. There are seat covers now on the entire lower bowl that are black. So if you're at the arena, you'll see the red still on the top, but the bottom, it appears, and from where we're sitting courtside, it looked like those chairs had been changed to black already, but those were some well-placed on seat covers. There's only a few of them that if you look kind of close, because, oh, that's obviously a seat cover there. So I thought that they had maybe changed some of them already, but apparently that is not the case. I guess they aren't starting that changeover until December. And again, I'm not going to go sports radio here and on this and say a new low for the Pistons or a new low for Detroit sports or something like that. But we know what it is. It's embarrassing to have all those empty seats on TV. Maybe a few too many Deadspin articles pointed that out, and a few too many tweets from people as well. But the Detroit News and Rod Beard and Tony Paul pointed out that, by the way, that the exterior of the seat will stay the same, and just changing over that the padding there. Also, recycling the material that will be discarded, by the way, and no new costs for taxpayers on the facility, which was partially funded by public money, as we know. But it's sad for the Pistons and the Wings to have to do this. These are proud franchises here, and a proud city that labels itself as a really good sports market, and I'm not going to say that it's not. And I haven't, and again, I've been on record before as saying I don't have a problem with bandwagon fans. That should be how fans act. You should pay for and support the product when they're at their best. But here we are. It's a new season, and we'll see what we've got here with the Pistons. Last year, the team started off so well, the crowd still didn't really come out. So I don't know that I buy the completely buy the argument that, and I know it was a short period of time. It wasn't like they turned into a championship contender in 2 months of the season, but there were some exciting dates on the calendar. The team was playing really well, one of the top teams in the NBA, and people still weren't coming out. So I don't know that I buy that letting the fans off the hook by saying, well, if you throw out a good team, hopefully they'll fill those seats. They beat a lot of good times in that team last year. I think people forget about that a little bit, is that start that they had. But can this group be that good this year? Certainly there's a lot of reasons to be pessimistic about that, but there's some optimism that can be baked into the equation too. So another stay tuned. A lot of stay tunes here as we are now 6 days away from the NBA regular season. Also some sad news to pass along. Tex Winter, the longtime basketball coach, has passed away at 96. He was a longtime Bulls and Lakers assistant coach, winning, I believe, 9 championships with those teams, and Phil Jackson as one of his main assistants. He was one of the architects of the triangle offense, brought it into the mainstream, which had a large hand in the success of the Michael Jordan teams with the Bulls and then the Kobe Shaq teams with Los Angeles, and then later Kobe by himself winning another couple titles without Shaq. I didn't know that Tex Winter coached at Kansas State, and I felt bad that I hadn't read that and I hadn't known that until I read his obituary today. But that was certainly before my time. Two Final Fours at Kansas State, but again, 1958 and 1964. So I felt bad that I didn't know that he coached at Kansas State, but then when I saw those years, 58 and 64, I felt less bad about that. But the triangle offense, just a way to start offense, a way to get the point guard rolling into the corner, and to go with the wing and the point guard and the post player there, forms a triangle, just a way to get a lot of action started, really opens up spacing and opens up chances for players to be able to make offensive plays, which is really what you want in the NBA. Now, it's not an offense that's primarily looking for three-point shots, which is why it's kind of died down as the years have gone on, and modern offenses have found the three-pointer to be, if not the primary reason for the offense to exist, but then certainly a secondary reason for the offense to exist. Not that you can't get three-pointers out of a triangle offense, but it's certainly not one of the emphasis, one of the things that's emphasized more. It's more of a way to get, you know, post players and talented shooting guards like a Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan to be able to post up, and then have forwards also have the ability to post up. So if you have guys that can work one-on-one in kind of that post area, it's a great offense to get that going. I just point that out about the triangle offense, because there's a lot of NBA fans out there, I think, who hear about the triangle offense and really don't know exactly what it was. So I want to give you a quick primer on it as well. It's one of those things that's kind of misunderstood and has been misunderstood over the years. But we got one more show coming up on Friday. We owe you one because we didn't have one on Wednesday. We'll be talking the Central Division previews still before the season gets going. We've got Milwaukee and Chicago coming up. We got those. Also have my predictions for the playoffs. So get those on paper. Send me your predictions as well. Get me your 8 West playoff teams in order of the seeding, and your 8 playoff teams in the East as well. Then give me your conference finals predictions and NBA finals predictions as well. Email those along at Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com. I'll hold on to them throughout the season. We'll revisit them a couple times throughout the year and then figure out who won the contest at the end of the year. And we'll find a prize for the winner as well. But like we said, Pistons season coming up next week. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more for new customers. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee, from the biggest concert and games to the hottest theater and more. Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and enter promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let Vivid Seats help you get to your favorite live event. And I will see you at Little Caesars Arena this season. This has been your host, Matt Schoch, with another edition of Locked on Pistons, the podcast, the daily podcast about Detroit basketball. So thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow, everyone.